Arcane Analysis is brought to you by BlizzPro.com, partnered with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Follow them on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Legion by Lenovo or visit LenovoGaming.com.
The portals are open. The refreshments are conjured. Settle down for Arcane Analysis.
Welcome to episode 14 of Arcane Analysis. Tonight I'm joined by my co-hosts Allie and Katie, and we're going to do a little bit of recap on Nighthold and some of the new things that dropped in patch 7.2.5, as well as our lovely little friend Chromie and some changes to artifact knowledge.
So let's dive in and go ahead and talk about some of the new things that are coming with 7.2.5. The biggest thing is a bunch of class changes and balancing stuff, but that's, you know, pretty typical of patches in WoW, and we could talk about all of them or none of them, but the short of the matter is that they happened. I guess to me, there's people that are knowledgeable in their class will know a lot about it, but it's exhausting to go into. The bigger concerns are, you know, next week we have Tomb of Sargeras finally opening up, you know, Yay! The long anticipated from all the Broken Shores content. And then a few other small changes. I guess the first one that a lot of people have been interested in is the Deaths of Chromie. Was it? It's a scenario series. So Sam, you've done a lot of that.
I did. I ran it a bunch today and did a little yesterday. So one of the biggest things is, like, it's hard. Like, the first segment of it is pretty easy to unlock because basically you've got 15 minutes to go in and save Chromie. And as you, like, do a thing and complete an objective, it starts out in, of course, at Wormrest, and you're going to the different dragon shrines. And once you, like, do the thing and kill the baddie there, the next time you go in, you don't have to clear the stuff to get to the baddie. You can just go straight to kill him. And when you kill them, you get these little sands of time that give you buffs or extend time or all kinds of crazy stuff. But, like, you're scaled up to level 102 because it's in the future, and you hit hard, but things hit really hard. And I found, especially as a mixed squishy pants, you need to kite everything. I am so sorry for melees. Like, tanks, y'all will probably be fine, but if you're a DPS, kite your face off. I promise it'll help. Other than that, it's you gain rep with Chromie, and she's got a talent tree kind of thing that's very similar to the Order Hall research that you did to, like, unlock the legendaries and different mission bonuses and stuff like that. And they're also on after the first two tiers that you have to get, which I think I only ran the scenario and screwed up and lollygagged maybe, like, two or three times to get her to, like, the third tier of her talent tree, at which point it's a one-day cooldown for research to unlock that one. So, like, at least get in there and jump in and spend, like, a half an hour to get to that point, and then kind of take it at your leisure from there, because as you gain rep, you unlock more talents to help her. Like, it'll make her a tank, or you can choose to make her a healer, or have her do stuns, or give you boosts, and it helps a lot. But actually the majority of, like, buffing yourself up comes from killing things, looting hidden chests, and killing random hidden rares, which I didn't know until today either. and that's where you end up getting a lot of your RNG luck for buffs to actually complete the scenario. So it's really one of those, like, you can do really super awesome and Chromie still dies, or you can do really super bad and then get a lot of buffs and get a lot further than when you were doing better. but it's definitely, it's challenging, and it gives you, there's a lot of replay value in it, and I think that's really, really awesome. Like, I hope lots of people spend time in here and we get more content like this in the future, because it's neat and interesting and challenging, but not as, like, head-bangingly so like the class challenges, which I'm still failing at really bad, even though I have concordance and a few points in it and reasonably decent gear, I'm still a really crappy fire mage.
I mean, let's be fair, the developers have said, I'm pretty certain that it's balanced around having a decent amount of tomb gear for the higher end, and I know one comment from a blue said that most people will probably still have some challenges even going into the next raid. So, you know, don't feel bad about that. But it's definitely one of those things where it was meant to be really hard, and you can tell by the number of people that have it.
For sure. I know. Like, I know I'm clumsy, but usually I can kind of just, you know, throw myself at it for hours on ends and eventually just derp my way through. That's not me right now. I am not executing the imp mother fight very well at all. But I did, like, after a couple of hours of failing and sucking, realized what I was actually doing wrong. So that helped, and I got a little further, but I still got a whole nother phase that I haven't touched yet, so...
Gotcha. You know,
if you guys are struggling with it, it's okay. That's normal. Just get some shinies and wait it out.
So going back to also gonna join Imp Mothers Anonymous. Yeah, that's a really tough little scenario there, and I totally agree with you, Sam. Which is, you know, as you progress through that, it's a really hard skill check. But it does feel rewarding, even if you don't complete it, and just learning more about your class and how to maneuver around in the instance and progressing a little bit, you know, steadily getting to the goal.
So going back to the Chromie thing, how would you compare it to the Withered scenario back in the start? I'm assuming both of y'all did it, or at least one of y'all did it. I did a lot of this.
And sucked at it really bad because I didn't realize... Like, I didn't go and unlock all of the, so you could get, like, the max ancient mana so that you could get, like, more little dudes. I just thought you could go in with, like, a couple and be okay. So, like, once I figured out, because I went into that blind. Like, I didn't look up any guides until I had actually cleared it and then went to go find stuff that I had missed. And then, you know, just kept running it for, like, the rewards and the... I think that's where I got my Fox Mount invitation from, so I ground it out until then, and I haven't went back since. but I liked the Withered scenario. Like, I wish it would have had a little more replay value than it did, because, like, I mastered it reasonably quickly, and then once I got all of the goodies that I did, I was done. So for the effort, like, I wish it, I would still enjoy going and doing the thing, but I don't. So I hope that, like... Chromie has, because you never know what you're gonna get out of it, and you can go in and at least get like gold and stuff if you choose that for your buffs. And I think I had heard somewhere that there's like, when you choose the little gold pack from the same things, there's like items that you can get out of them, like collectible things. But again, I've been trying not to look anything up because I want to make it hard for myself, because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Cool.
But I feel like I had heard that it was the same person or people that did both. So in that regard, like the using existing assets for different things is really cool, in my opinion, because it's a low creation cost. For additional content, and that's awesome.
It's just a whole new way. It's another way to play the game, right? It's really expanding on, you know, the mentioned the Withered scenario in the beginning, which was kind of an interesting way to play your class and sort of explore the world of Warcraft. And now you have this Chromie edition. You get to kind of play as her and master the scenario that she's in. And you were mentioning that along the way you can like get gold and stuff, but one of the big things is you can start getting the Chromie themed transmog sets, which are pretty sweet looking. Like, it's a pretty good reward for going through and kind of checking this out.
The other new thing for 725 that is of significant note was the recent notice to the change in artifact knowledge ranking. That was changed So when I think it was 7.2 dropped, artifact knowledge was capped previously at 25. Just doing the opening scenarios for the Broken Shores again, you got to 26, and then you continued on. Each one took 5 days to level up to the next rank, and then slowly over time, we all got to artifact rank knowledge 40, and that's where they kept us capped us out at. With 7.2.5, they decreased the research time from 5 days down to 4 hours, and that's now down to 3.6 hours after another patch update. And you know, that's, you know, to me, that's really cool. I like it. Some people were really upset about that. Don't really understand why. Like, I know why they were upset, but I don't really understand it.
I want to get hostile about people that were hostile about it, which seems very counterintuitive. But, like, it's one of those, of, like, people can have things too, and it doesn't take away from you also having the thing. You still had it first. And, like...
Oh, certainly.
And even if it came at an, you know, unfortunate time where, like, I had tweeted about it, and a lot of people were like, yay, this time changed when I was already at rank 39 out of 40, so it only shaved, like, a couple days off of it. And I'm like, well, that's okay. Like, your cost of doing the research, like the 500 order hall resources, is still there. You just have to, you know, fish for it a lot faster, which is... sometimes not
easy. It's a lot
easy.
Harder than you might think.
Right.
You know?
Like, coming up with that many resources, if you're forced to space it out, then you have time to leisurely farm. But when you're trying to crank it out, it's a little bit more of a hustle. But at the same time...
It's a frustrating hustle.
Right. And it's strictly geared towards people that don't have a 110 at max research yet. So if you have one at 40, you can go get your 1,000 resources and go buy the tome and send it to your alts, and then you're fine. Like, you still have the better bargain out of the whole deal. It just makes it easier for somebody that, you know, hasn't touched the game yet. And that's never a bad thing, because if more people pick up the game and run with it, they're probably going to stay subbed longer, which means everybody's going to get more content down the road at the end. Like, it's a mutual benefit for everybody involved, even if you feel slighted, because they're not getting anything out of it. They're not getting gear, they're not getting achievements, except for maybe like the final achievement. Do you get one for rank 40? I can't remember.
Not for artifact knowledge. No,
it's just for concordance, right?
Yes.
Yeah, just for the traits. So like, there's no tangible benefit to it other than they're caught up.
And when I first heard about it, I thought, well, why do they even have a, you know, why do you even have a time for there? Particularly given the fact that, you know, if the goal is to get new players or people that are coming back to the game after taking a significant break can catch up and, you know, start pounding out all the way towards concordance faster. You know, I found and started talking to a dev friend who explained it pretty frankly, of it was easier to change the time that it took than it was to recode it to, you know, give you a grant to a certain level. So it makes sense, and I'm not upset by that at all. And even still, the case is, like we said, you still have to farm up those 500 order hall resources each time you want to rank up. And so that's 14 ranks. That's... do the math for me, 7,000 order hall resources that you still need to farm up, which is, it's significant. I mean, it's not like something that you can just like brush aside and say, oh, no big deal. That's still some farming that you need to do, because notably at the same time, you're starting to put those order hall resources into a new character and a new new character that you don't have, not just an alt. So you're trying to order up your order hall and get items for your followers and all sorts of other things that you're spending order hall resources on at the time that people don't think.
Like, it doesn't solve the issue of you're still hemorrhaging order hall resources when you first start out. Like, that's still gonna happen. It's just that they took away the time frame to kind of ease the bleeding. Instead, mm-hmm. you're just getting kind of kicked in the teeth. And so there's still negative drawbacks to it. But the fact that, like, your dev friend explained why they did it the way that they did it is still pretty awesome, because they used a easy creative solution to still be of use, instead of like, oh, well, we'd have to change the whole code to actually make it easier. Let's not do anything to it at all. Instead, they, you know, found a creative solution for it. And that's super awesome.
It is super awesome.
And even outside of the solution, just it does give a sense of progression. Again, it kind of fits in that in between where it's, if you started playing at the beginning of the expansion, even kind of buying into the system, you still feel like, okay, like you put in your time and you got it before anybody else. And the new players that are coming in, instead of it just being immediately granted to them, which would be best for those players and kind of probably healthier for the community, it does allow the player, like the newer players, to kind of feel their weapon growing in strength, which I think is a big deal. Like, I mean, these again are the legendary weapons, these artifact weapons, and you want them to feel like they're growing with you, like they're part of your leveling progression. So I really like that they, you know, made it a little bit easier, but they didn't just give you everything.
Right. And speaking of legendary, like, if you're a new character, you still don't have your legendaries, so they're still gonna have to kind of fish for those too. So there's lots of other issues that come along with just the way that progressions of all aspects work in Legion that still have their drawbacks to them, but at least it's a conscious effort to try and make the point of entry more accessible, and that's like my favorite thing, accessibility, no matter how it comes, that, you know, I'm always going to get on my little soapbox about.
Agreed. It's a nice change. I did the math earlier, and it's took us 70 days to get from 26 to 40 fun times, right? Now it's going to be about 56 hours. So it really catches people up. But, you know, remember, if you had artifact knowledge 40, you know, a week ago, like I did, you know, I'm at Concordance. Essentially, I'm at Concordance 4 right now on my Frost weapon, and that's cool and all. The person that's going to level up a character and get to 110, you know, say next week, and farms up, you know, gets all the way up to artifact knowledge 40, they still have, you know, billions of artifact power they need to farm up and catch up on. Like, they're not catching up to me in any time soon. And the people that really are probably causing the stink about this, you know, being elitist and all, they probably have billions more artifact power than me that I'm never going to catch up to them at either. So, you know.
Yeah, like, there's short, people that have Concordance in all of their spec weapons that I'm just like, I have one.
I have one.
And I feel good about that, so, you know.
Yay!
But yay, casual life, woo!
Woohoo! So I guess that really, for us, covers all that needs to be said right now for, you know, 7.2.5. Again, next week, Tomb of Sargeras opens up, and we can talk about that later. But I know a few of us kind of wanted to look back on Nighthold, and I guess, you know, to a slighter extent, Emerald Nightmare and Trial of the Crusader. No, not Trial of the Crusader. Halls of... What was that?
Trial of Valor. Yay, that's
Trial
what it
of
was.
Valor. There it is.
It was some kind of trial.
It was a trial set by the gods, yes. So kind of looking back and seeing the changes, I mean, we talked when 7.2 came out, the changeover of the Paragon percentage increases for our artifact power, and then, you know, being switched over to the Concordance. That was a huge shift and revamp on artifacts. For me, I didn't like it as much. I did like that feeling of being kind of done for a certain period of time. This changeover to Concordance and the vastly exponentially increasing artifact power needed for each level is disheartening for me. And, you know, maybe it's the type of player and person I am, but I see something's not finished and I kind of need to finish it. And when it feels like I cannot in a reasonable time or in a known time reach the end, it just kind of disheartens me and frustrates me, and I just don't want to do it. So it kind of pushes me away. But for other people, they're like, you know, I got to Concordance, I'm done, I don't have to worry about it. You know, I'll get power as, you know, I'll get more points as I need to. And some people are completely okay with it. And they see that as less of a pressure as getting, you know, maxed out 54 traits beforehand, because, you know, you could reach that and it wasn't an easily attainable, and the amount of percentage in damage increase was just phenomenal going to those points. So I think there's two ways of this being the better option. You know, maybe I would have said, okay, well, you can get to Concordance, you know, 5 for now, and then we'll open it up to Concordance 20 later or something like that. Kind of how they're doing with honor levels and prestige levels and PvP right now.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say that would be a comparable kind of gating system, because unfortunately there are people like you that need to be saved from themselves in terms of, like, I need to feel done. I mean, some people take it to a very excessive level and have gotten very vocal and hostile about it. I don't think you're at that point, but yeah, the sense of completion feels nice, but at the same time, feeling done means that you can take a break, which means you might unsub, and that's bad. At least from, like, a business analytics point of view. But,
oh, certainly.
You know, a lot of times people that are that invested, they may take a break, but they probably don't cancel their sub while they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a delicate balance of how much time do you want to put in. I know I kind of pushed really hard, as much as I could, without, like, losing sleep over getting to Concordance, and I've slowed down a lot in my grinding. Instead of, like, yay, there's all this AP on the map, I need to clear it all, now I'm just like, okay, well, I'm gonna do, like, the 3 really big ones and then go clear Broken Shore, and then I'm done and I'm good and I'll go do other stuff. But it's still, like, it's not done, it's not zeroed out, so I can't not do anything, but I'm not going to do all the things.
Yeah, I know for myself, I kind of get obsessive where I want to fill out absolutely everything as much as I can, and it's kind of gets rough to a point where it's like, oh, you just, at some point, you gotta, you know, just stop, and it's not really done, and that doesn't really feel like great. As for kind of maintaining that perfect balance of giving people the sense of completion and not giving them, you know, a bunch of time where they just sort of lose interest and fall out. It's kind of like getting your character fully geared right after a raid, like after you finish a raid tier. And you want to have enough time between each raid tier to get your character fully decked out. And, you know, at least have, I would say, a couple weeks, maybe even a month, where they're just the top and their gear doesn't get any better than that. And I feel like that mentality probably could have worked for some of the artifact power and just some of those traits that you can get, where you could have felt like, I'm, you know, I finally cleared out all this stuff and this is the most you can get, and I'm the top of the top. I did my, you know, I did my dues, and you have like a month or two before they started adding in a higher cap or something like that.
Certainly. I mean, going back to myself personally, going into Mists of Pandaria, I did all the dailies every single day at the start of the expansion. I was one of those crazy people that spent hours and hours doing dailies because they had to be done. Mentally,
me
they had
too.
To be done for me. But when I finished them, you know, I wasn't bored. There were other things for me to do, and that was cool. But I still came back to them, not because I had to do them, but because there were a couple of rewards that I still wanted to do after I got them to Exalted. Because, I mean, let's be honest, the gold rewards were still there. And for Mists of Pandaria, doing one hub of daily quests was still a significant amount of gold. So it was easy enough to pop over there, do them, and have a good time, and then do something else. Whereas, you know, I feel like, you know, when I have to do the grinds and find all the world quests for the AP, I got to the point where now I log in, I look for the quickest 4 world quests I can do for the emissary caches, and then complete those. Or more recently, I wait 3 days So I don't log in for 2 days, come in the third day, look for the quickest way to clear out all my emissaries, and then I log off. It's because I need that break. I need to kind of step back. And this, you know, we finished Nighthold Heroic for our guild with just enough time to kind of step back, relax. We haven't raided for a couple weeks. We're just relaxing and waiting to get back into Tomb of Sargeras. And I think that's done a lot for the health of a lot of our raiders. And so, you know, again, this is me personally. I would like to see that mentality tossed over to Concordance. Whereas you can have those gaps of, it doesn't have to be a long time. Like the people that are going to grind out Mythic and Mythic Pluses and push it to the absolute max because they are dedicated will get there sooner. But whereas, you know, someone like me who is adamant about getting, you know, the dailies done, set up, that they will still and give me some time to finish it, and while still allowing people to catch up and get to there before the next cap increases is reasonable to me. But, you know, it's hard to say. Some people are looking at different time commitments, and I guess for some reason it's easier if Blizzard just says, eh, go for it as you desire, so that they don't have to worry about trying to calculate when to set caps out.
I really do like your guild mentality, and I think a lot of kind of semi-hardcore, not the most hardcore guilds do that, where they do get, you know, they take off the break once they've cleared the raid completely. Because I think it's not really a matter of, you know, you want to have people logged into the game as much as possible. I think that's kind of a weak argument to keeping people subbed, because I think all of a sudden you start, if players feel like they have to be on WoW all the time, it becomes more of a chore rather than fun, and then they start having to question whether or not WoW is a thing that they really want to put their time and commitment into, because it's like, for a lot of players, it might be the only thing they can do. Like, it feels really bad when, I mean, for example, about 3 months ago, we had a bunch of great games come out for PlayStation. We had Nier Automata, Horizon, some other games, Zelda came out on the Switch, and it felt really bad to feel like I had to make the choice to just only play WoW and not have that space to play some of these other games and kind of balance WoW into that. And it's, I think that you probably could keep people more subbed or more interested in the game if you did allow for breaks like that, which would also satisfy people like you, Allie, where you, you know, you feel the sense of completion because you've got all the tier gear, you got all the traits, you got the concordance, you know, like you feel there's a time where you've finally culminated and all of your hard work has turned into something, and there's not still like things to do right afterward, you know, like that feel meaning, like that almost feel menial at that point, right? Because you've already reached that big milestone, but it's like, oh, you can still keep doing this, and maybe you should if you want to be cutting edge.
Yeah, I mean, like, I haven't stopped. I still have made a push to keep going. Like, as I said, I'm at Concordance 4. A lot of people in my guild are, you know, still not quite Concordance 1. A couple more at, like, Concordance 2. One person has Concordance 7, I think, because he's crazy pants.
But I think that, like that.
What?
I said I have guildies like that. I think he's maxed out on like all three specs for his paladin and then is still super grinding on Rhett.
Gosh.
And wow. I admire the time but also the dedication to it, because it's that borderline insane. And I say that knowing that I beat some of our hardcore raid team to Concordance. So I understand the urge, but I'm not quite that crazy. And I mean that in a loving way, because the person I'm talking about is one of my favorite people in the guild. So it's just it's always interesting how people choose to spend their time. And for me, sometimes that's, you know, being logged in, but I'm on Twitter and not necessarily grinding anything.
Yep. Like, he's, again, the one that's you know, two or three levels ahead of me. He's a good friend, and so we kind of have fun and joke around a bit like that. But, you know, it's still kind of like, how do you manage to do that? Like, I'm over here still trying to get through Mass Effect, still trying to get through Horizon, playing a lot of Heroes of the Storm because of the season changeover, and trying to get all the promotional things in. And, you know, I'm a crazy runner, as my friends call me as well. So, you know, I have a lot on my plate to get done, and it's just, you know, it would be nice to not have to worry about WoW for just a little bit. And like you said, Sam, the, you know, making sure that the developers have the players keep coming back is important for how their game model works. But, you know, sometimes maybe it's healthier if they let them take a break so that they can take a break and come back. Because you never know if you're going to push a player away longer by making them feel overworked.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to burn out your players. I mean, they're playing WoW to have fun. It loses the novelty. The game loses so much novelty when it becomes a job. I mean, I remember there was a summer where I set up a parent subscription thing so I could monitor how much time I was putting into it. I spent 80 hours a week one summer playing WoW.
That's it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That was also going,
thinking that.
You know, like summer school. Well, it was crazy. It was like 80 hours a week for like 6 weeks or something. That's a lot of time. But I mean, really. Yeah, it's just like almost like a 12-hour day playing WoW. Yeah, so it's just, it feels really good when you don't make people feel like they have to make an ultimatum where it's like, oh, it's unhealthy for me to play this amount, you know, or it's like, oh, if I play WoW, like, I know, okay, like, if I want to be like where I want to play, you know, the level that I want to play at, I need to be putting in like 4 hours a day or 6 hours a day. And people are going to sort of think about it from that perspective and just not play at all. Whereas I would like to see it where it's like, people know it's like, okay, look, I can play for 3 hours a day and maybe I don't have to play all the 3 hours, or if I'm really feeling it, I play 6 hours, whatever. But, you know, they have some sort of like confidence in knowing that it's not going to take over their whole life, that they can sort of take a break, do something else, come back to the game really excited rather than sort of getting stuck in a rut.
Absolutely. That's the game that everybody plays, is the delicate balance. And that's not just in gaming. I mean, that's the balance that everybody plays in their lives on a daily basis.
The balance of life.
Right.
Wait,
I mean,
what? Are you
what
sure
is,
about that?
I think sometimes they call that adulting. Not very good at it.
I'm not really sure if that's what that's called, but I'll go with it. But no, like, you are right. Some people get really crazy into, you know, anything particular, and you have to start realizing where your balance is that's good for you and good for the people you're around. And, you know, gaming is no different. It's just stigmatized a little bit more. But, you know, we're not going to judge anybody for their how they spend game time.
I'm just going to judge you on how you don't spend your game time, you know?
Oh, obviously.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, in talking about that, and I know we talked about it in exhaustive in the past and, you know, and significantly now for the concordance, I guess the other things that's really left was, you know, how people thought about Nighthold as a raid. But before that, I kind of want to touch on the item level scaling, not necessarily the Titanforge Warforge, but for... what was it? Hellfire Citadel at the end of Warlords. They brought in the, I guess what I call item level scaling through the raid instance. The earlier bosses were a certain item level, and then the mid-tier bosses were another item level, and then the late, you know, boss or bosses were another eye level set up. And it allowed, it incentivized you to want to get the later, you know, make the loot from the later tier bosses better. I think even to this day, because of how stat weights appeal to certain classes over the other, I know when I was late raiding on my Shadow Priest, I wanted the boots from the first, or the cloth boots from the first raid boss in Hellfire Citadel and not the ones that were later on in the instance, purely because they had the right stats, whereas the other one had a stat I didn't like, even though they were 10 item levels higher or something like that. I think it was 10. I can't remember offhand. I do apologize. But the point was, like, it did a little bit to incentivize. Like, I really had to math it out. But in the end, like, it was not necessarily clear. And I think, you know, to me, I think it just adds silly extra math for, is this an upgrade within the raid tier that they don't need to be doing, especially when they've already had issues with it? But other people really like it because it means that the trinket from the last boss really is better because it's automatically 5 item levels better. And, you know, all likelihood, barring any weird Titanforge Warforging things going on.
Right. Actually, you brought up a good point about how, you know, you wanted to maybe keep the boots from the first boss and not really go for boots that would come off to the second or even the last boss because of the stat distribution. And actually, one of my guildies was talking about, it's like, wouldn't it be a great thing to almost bring back Reforging, which I know most people are like, oh no, please don't do that. It got really tedious and deep in the weeds. But it also, I have to say, it doesn't feel good as a player where I see that item is 10 item levels higher than what I currently have, but I know I need to keep this, you know, keep this piece of gear because it has the quote unquote right stats for me. Because the other piece, you know, the one that's 10 item levels higher, it has maybe a little bit more of one of the priority stats that I want, but not both of them. And the second, and maybe the secondary stat is just garbage or not really useful for my spec. And it would just almost be nice to be able to keep that 10, you know, that 10 item levels higher piece of gear and have the opportunity to, you know, change the secondary stat to something that's a little bit more accommodating to what I need as my, you know, for my character. So, I don't know how you all feel about that.
I am kind of actually happy they did away with Reforging. Like, it served its purpose in the days of hit and expertise caps. And that was wonderful, but it introduced a lot of issues with stat stacking that made things really weird. Like, it allowed for some really weird shifts in stat distributions that I don't think they always accounted for. And when you came up against that situation where this is what you want to do because you have to get to this level and this point, and it just it made it hard and gave really weird ends to certain things. And again, because you had to not just reforge one piece of gear necessarily, but you had to reforge your whole set of gear when you got one piece of upgrade and you had to know the right stats. I think it made gearing too complex, even from what we see nowadays, where you can just look and say, you know, or sim your character and turn around and say, yes, this is an upgrade, or no, this is not an upgrade, and then you can just be done with it. Whereas before, you had to sim to see if it was an upgrade and then, you know, go through all the reforging possibilities and then sim your character again to see if it really is an upgrade. It's just I think it was good to get rid of it.
I feel like there needs to be some sort of fix, though, where, again, it's like, it feels bad to equip something that's, you know, you just received an item that's 10 item levels higher than whatever your current piece is, but then still feel like you have to hold on to that piece. I've even seen cases of people that held on to something that was 30 item levels difference because it's like, well, I just haven't been able to get a piece of gear with the right stats on it, and this whatever I had is still serving that purpose. It just... I felt like Reforging might fix that. I'm not really sure what could change.
If it's not a ring or a neck piece, they're probably hurting themselves by not changing that. I think
mentality behind that, especially because, like, there's no hard and fast rule. Because when it gets into the, like, the ultra min-maxing, I know my friend Archie was posting about it and going like, hey, yes, this is the absolute min-max, but in reality, this is like a 0.01 or 0.03 change. It's really not going to matter. And I think people that care enough to look it up, but not necessarily care enough to do the math themselves, and all of the gray area in between, lose sight of, like, oh, well, haste is bad for me, so I'm going to take this 30 item level hit because I don't want this piece of haste gear on there. And it's no bueno. And, like, I've fallen into that trap because, like, I play Fire Mage and crit is always our best stat. But, like, I have so much crit in my gear, it's not good. Like, it's just useless. And so now I'm, like, really in this, like, super haste mode and I didn't realize it. But now that I've switched some pieces out or picked up some other pieces, like, it's a tangible feel better in the playstyle, even though, like, my average item level hasn't really changed.
Mm-hmm. So. Fair enough. And actually, to reference, like, actually, it was Archie that I was talking to about, you know, where we were like, maybe reforging should be a thing again, you know, but I guess you're right. It appeals to that very small margin of players to be able to have that sort of control over the min-maxing.
Right. Like, it's the problem goes of where, like, you can fix all the numbers, but if you're still not ranking on, you know, wow, Jesus, what is it? Warcraft logs? It's Warcraft logs, yep. Right? That's Kira's. it's been so long since I've used it, I forgot. go me!
It's so good, though! You gotta be using it!
It's a... I'm subbed to their Patreon, I just never actually, like... use the services I pay for.
What?
I'm terrible. This is what happens when I turn into a filthy casual. but it's one of those things of, like, if you're worrying about min-maxing your gear so much and you're still not ranking, it's not the gear that's causing the problem. It's there are dramatic changes in your playstyle that need to be made to fix any kind of setback that you're having from performing well. And that 0.01% is going to do absolutely nothing for you. But the same logic can be applied to, you know, especially if you play a pure DPS class. If you're picking Fire over Frost or Arcane over Frost or, you know, Frost over all the other ones. But if you're a crappy Frost Mage, like, it's not going to do you any good to be a crappy Frost Mage if you can be at least a mediocre Fire Mage. Ha, 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 ha. so, you
well.
Know.
I like to be self-deprecating.
but, I don't know. I always feel like people just get caught up in the wrong thing because of how we rely on our knowledge. Because it doesn't always come from Blizz. It comes from each other and the community. And so... sometimes the priorities get a little skewed and people forget about that or forget about, you know, having fun.
You reasonable.
Know, it's weird. This weird fun thing we call.
But there are different ways of expressing that fun. Maybe the fun is for someone that can say, you know, say to themselves, I've made my gear, you know, the top, you know, 0.1 difference, but in constructing that and kind of figuring out the math behind it, that's what makes it fun for them. Or seeing those numbers pop up on like the DPS meters, things like that, where they can really analyze it. I mean, that's sort of their version of fun. That's not for me. But, you know, I mean, people enjoy different things. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There was a time when I was a meter hussy and I got all into that. But I didn't get pissed off at Blizzard about something if something was crappily statted, but you know, there were also times when, like, 10 man versus 25 man had different item levels. Now this is going way back into Wrath, where, like, my best in slot bracer was from 10 man heroic, and it didn't matter how many item levels the 25 man heroic piece was, it was itemized crappily and the 10 item levels didn't make a difference. Actually, I think it was like 7, but
it was like, you get 5 or something like
right,
that.
It was really minimal, but it was one of those of, like, would the 5 item levels make a difference? No, at that point, it's such a small gap, the stats made a difference and not the item level. And so now, you know, they try to at least give a margin of error depending on how your playstyle is or, you know, this stat that you're really after. I think the buffer is like 15 item levels. And that's the thing, is that, like, if it's 5 or 10 item levels, yeah, it's comes down to personal discretion as to whether one piece is better than the other. But if it's 15 item levels or more, you're probably okay just taking the higher item level piece, trinkets, rings, legendaries, set bonuses aside, taking the higher item level piece is better.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's just me. Again, another soapbox I like to get on. People get lost in the stuff and the things. but we are kind of running a little long here. So, what were your guys' favorite fights in Nighthold?
I brought this up between us, and I'm sitting here thinking, what is my favorite fight?
Right, no, I
stole the option to ask you too, so that I could wait and think about it.
I would say Gul'dan, honestly. I feel like that's probably what everyone's going to say, because it's sort of the last boss, and usually the last boss is the best boss, but Gul'dan is a really fun fight. There's just so many things going on, and how... And he's so important to the lore to finally get down that it's satisfying on every level. Great fight, interesting mechanics, cool adds, really fulfills the fantasy of what Gul'dan is. And you kind of complete the chapter on the fel-infested orc that led, you know, a whole species to its sort of, you know, slavery under the Burning Legion. It's just so good.
Mechanically, it's a cool fight. It's not my favorite, though. So I like Eloriel Spellblade.
Yeah, she's really fun.
Her call-outs crack me up, but I like rhyming and punnery. Yeah. So... for me, that I'm super tickled, but like mechanically, I think I like Elisande, just because the rewinding thing and running around that stupid pillar, grabbing stuff. Granted, I'm really bad at it, because I run around too much and it makes my DPS bad. Reasons why I'm a bad mage, yet again. But I like the fight. It's cool, because you rewind and start and stop, and you have to do the dance with the bubbles and the thingies and... I don't know. I think she's my favorite.
So I feel bad because I don't normally want to, like, knock on someone's favorite. And she is, in my opinion, the best on paper. Just the whole concept of the time rewinding is perfect for this Grand Magistrix, which is this, you know, almost impossibly powerful mage, to have that sort of mechanic. It's very cool. It's unlike things I've seen in other video games. However, I have to admit, like, I just sort of found avoiding the bubbles on the ground to not really, it felt like it wasn't really cohesive to the rest of her, kind of the imagery that they set up with her throughout the story. And it was just sort of, it felt like okay. And you have like these ads that just sort of also feel a little bit lackluster, but I agree with you that time rewinding feels so good, and it does feel great to kind of like have another opportunity to blow your cooldowns on her during each of those sort of time rewinds.
I think she was one of the most hectic and yet most interesting mechanics, especially as you jumped up to heroic. I don't think any of us are mythic raiders, so I will apologize for the three of us that we don't necessarily have the most intimate knowledge of the highest end level of the fights, but heroic is what I would call a good level of understanding for them.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite, I keep going between Botanist, just because I liked the slow but sure ramping up of just absolute hectic craziness that goes along as the fight ends.
Yeah,
most of the other fights
in my top three as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other ones seem to, you know, build up and then either drop or like have their moments of hecticness, whereas after you get to 50% on Botanist, for heroic at least, everything goes crazy and then you have to, you know, just survive out. I know in mythic that it reverses the fight and that's its own little craziness to it, so you know it's probably not as enticing for a mythic, But the other one is Star Auger, just because I love the room and I love the kind of story that he portrays in that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's such a DPS burn phase that it's just so much fun to play. Like, you're just sitting here crushing on your rotation, not having to worry about things. You know, I would say Krosis, but being arranged, I have to get out of casting range and then come back in and just sitting there like, come on, I want to be DPSing. Whereas if you're a melee, you're just like, ha, I don't have to do anything but sit here and DPS this whole fight. So I will probably say, if any of my guilds listening, I will say botanist, because the running joke at one point is they couldn't kill the boss without me, just because I would do so much more damage than they would, and Ice Lance would be like 70% of my damage. It's crazy. Lols. So yeah, I'll go with that. Gul'dan was fun, but it just seemed like a, I don't know, I wasn't thrilled.
He's everything that I expected from an end boss, but he still wasn't the coolest. Like,
he was an end boss, but he wasn't like a tier end boss. But I guess when I look at him versus, say, Blackhand, I would definitely pick Blackhand 10 times out of 10. Like, that was a much more interesting fight, mechanically speaking and lore-wise speaking.
Yeah, Blackhand, that was fun. That was like one of the last things that, like, mythic ones. Actually, no, I did not do mythic Blackhand, but I did start with some of the mythics out of Blackrock Foundry. But yeah, that fight was insane. It was very busy.
So I guess we will leave it at that and go to you, our listeners. You know, let us know what your favorite fights were for Nighthold, and as well as, you know, of course, any comments or questions on anything else we talked about throughout the podcast.
Share your experiences and frustrations with Chromie.
I'm going to be having fun with that one for a while, probably. So,
yes, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll be doing Tomb eventually, probably on like the casual LFR schedule, which is kind of a. I was really mad about it when I saw the raid release schedule, but I actually like did some math and research, and I'm less mad about it now. But it's still slow, so I'll have opinions eventually on Tomb, but not anytime soon. Plus, we're gonna be moving in like the next month or so, so I'm gonna be super busy and not playing a lot of WoW.
Oh no!
I'm excited because I'm gonna be closer to work and it'll be awesome! But that's going on a different tangent, and I think we've kinda rounded it out for tonight. Again, like Allie said, give us your feedback. What was your favorite boss in Nighthold, and what are you looking forward to in Tomb, and what are your rages against the Chromie, and anything else? And, you know, feel free to tweet at us at Arcane Analysis or shoot us an email at arcana@blizzpro.com and check out the show notes at warcraft.blizzpro.com. Thank you guys for listening.